Hello there and welcome once again to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. It's great to be back with you. As this week we look at the Mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Easter. The theme today, it's all about following Jesus to eternal life. And you know, really, that's what you and I are trying to do. We're trying to follow Jesus to where he leads. And sometimes he's going to take us into the desert. Sometimes he's going to allow us to go into the storm. Sometimes we're going to go up on top of the mountain where things are calm and smooth and we're going to be feeling great. All of it is designed to help lead us ultimately to eternal life in heaven. But that really, that eternal life begins here. Once we're baptized, we're committed to following Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we always do it, but that's what we're called to do as Christians, all the way to eternal life in heaven. So that's what we're going to talk about this week. Again, we're doing the readings for the fourth Sunday of Easter. Remember, there are 7 weeks during the Easter season, and then we head into the celebration of Pentecost. So it's kind of hard to believe. I know I say this a lot, but sometimes it just boggles my mind how quickly we move through these different liturgical seasons. Doesn't seem like too long ago that we were in the midst of Lent, and now here we are, the fourth week of Easter already. Whatever the case, I'm glad to have you with me on the show. I'm glad for all of your support. If you get my daily email reflection, you know that recently I did a fundraiser to try to keep my ministry afloat. So many of you came through for me, and I'm very grateful for that. So as far as I'm concerned, as far as I can see, I'm going to be here doing programs like this, doing my daily email reflections, as well as speaking and hopefully writing some more books into the future, into the foreseeable future, as they say. So I want to thank you for your prayers, for your contributions, and for showing up each week to join me in this look at the Sunday Mass readings. So here's what we're going to do, as we always do. We're going to turn to our Heavenly Father right now. We're going to first remember that we are in his presence. It's easy to forget that sometimes, isn't it, when we pray? It's easy to forget that God is with us. And where God the Father is, Jesus the Son is as well. So he's with us too. And so is the Holy Spirit. You know, don't want to forget about the angels and saints. So we have a lot of company now as we begin to pray. So I'm going to invite you to join me as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for being with us right now. Father, you're always willing to be with us and to listen to our prayers and to answer them. Father, I think sometimes we forget that you always answer our prayers. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait, which is one that I always have a hard time with, Father. But the more I do this, the more I grow closer to you, the more I see what you've done in my life and I look back through history, I recognize, Father, you always want what's best for me, and I'm grateful for that. So as we turn to you in prayer today, we acknowledge that you want what is best for us and that you can always help us, even with what looks like these hopeless situations in our lives. Father, we know that with you all things are possible. So we turn to you today. We praise you. We thank you. We ask for your forgiveness for the times we've failed and chosen our will over your will. And we turn to you with our needs for today. We pray for ourselves, for our family, for our friends. We pray for our country. We pray for those around the world who are struggling. We pray for the church. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for anyone who is looking for direction in life, who maybe feels lost, who maybe is angry, lonely, suffering from grief. We pray for all these people, as well as the sick. The Father, we give these intentions to you. And I'm also going to ask, Father, that you give me the words for the program today. I know that you have a message for us, and I want to make sure that I deliver the message that you have. Finally, I ask that you open all of our hearts and minds so that we can respond to the message that you have for us today. Father, I ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining me on this program. My name is Gary Zimak, and we do this once each week, and I'm very grateful to you. I'm grateful to all the Catholic radio stations who broadcast this show over the air, as well as the podcast services that make it available in podcast form. So if you are ready, I'm going to, before I get started, I have a bit of a scratchy throat today, so I'm going to take a sip of my water. I'm going to have that handy because I got a lot of reading today. I want to make sure that I get through it with no issues. I'll tell you this, the readings that we're going to look at today for the fourth Sunday of Easter, they're not especially long. They're relatively short, but they have a really good message. So I'm glad we're going to have the opportunity to talk about it, those readings. Before we do that, I want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. If you want to find out more about me, if you want to get in touch with me, maybe check into some of the books that I've written, as well as sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can do all of that by going to followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. All right, let me get situated here. And today's readings are all about following Jesus to eternal life. You know, as I was reading this gospel for the fourth Sunday of Easter, it's remarkably short. It's three verses. You know, sometimes you get a longer gospel, but this is a short one. But it's very clear to understand the message. It's a powerful message, and one that is one that's something that you and I, and we'll talk a little bit about it, but you and I need to really look at this message and make a choice after we hear the words. Let me just read it. And as we do each week, if you're new to the program, I'll just say this. I always start with the gospel and then back up and let the other readings supplement the gospel. The gospel today, or this for this fourth Sunday of Easter, comes from John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Again, really simple message. Jesus is talking about his sheep, his followers. They hear his voice. He knows us, his followers, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, obviously, what Jesus is speaking of here is eternal life in heaven. Certainly, we're going to die in this existence, on this earth. We're not going to stay on this earth forever. And then we move on. And if we follow him, this is an incredibly simple message, but one that needs to be emphasized. If we follow him, and not just in name only, but really follow Jesus, listen to him, try our best with the help of his grace to do what he would like us to do. If we do that, we will make it to heaven. You know, there's no trick questions on the entrance exam to heaven. It's just a matter of, am I following Jesus? And when I slip up, When I sin, when I fall off the, when I get off the right path, do I make an effort through the sacrament of reconciliation to get myself back on track? Again, with the help of his grace. And as long as I do that, I will make it to heaven. I think sometimes we can overcomplicate this matter of getting to heaven. It's not complicated. It's difficult sometimes because of our fallen human nature and of our tendency to put our own needs first. And I'm very guilty of this. I'm not accusing you. I'm saying this is something I struggle with. And because of this, we tend to overcomplicate this idea of making it to heaven. Jesus doesn't expect us to be perfect. Jesus expects us to try as hard as we can and really lean on him and the grace that's available to us through his sacraments and through prayer and through mainly through prayer, mainly through the sacraments, and then also through prayer. We get this grace. The Lord gives us this grace to be able to do what he wants us to do, to literally be transformed into Jesus. That's what we're called to do. And if we do that, we will eventually make it to eternal life in heaven, literally following Jesus. You know, he had suffering in his life, and he expects us to pick up our cross and carry our cross. He's going to help us do it, but he expects us to do that. And if we do that, we will live forever in heaven. And that's a place that somebody like me, who tends to worry, who tends to be anxious, and who tends to struggle with a lot of things in life, to me, that idea of perfect happiness is extremely appealing. And that's the thing. We just got to make it through this life. And then we can have the ability to live forever in heaven, where there isn't going to be sickness, where there won't be financial problems, where there won't be any kind of pain or loneliness or difficulty. But we've got to make it through this life. And that's where the Lord wants to help us. How do we do that? We follow Jesus. We listen to his voice and we follow him. And, you know, he says in this gospel, no one can take his followers, his sheep, out of his hand. Nobody can, but we can do it ourselves. You know, that's the thing to remember. As long as we follow Jesus and attempt to stay with him and really take advantage of all the grace that he wants to give us, as long as we do that, we're going to be fine. Nobody can jeopardize our salvation. The devil can tempt us. The world can distract us. You know, there's all kinds of temptations and distractions around, but ultimately, it's a free choice. Nobody, including the devil, can make me sin. I have to make that choice myself. The devil can lie. He can make it look attractive. There's all kinds of things he can do. The world can distract us. You know, we've got a lot of distractions in this world, a lot of temptations to do other things besides spending time with the Lord. And it doesn't mean we have to spend all our time in prayer, but we certainly want to make sure we're praying in some way every day. But the world is distracting, and it's easy to lose sight of the Lord in the midst of the world. But again, that simple gospel message, if we follow Jesus, he will lead us to eternal life in heaven. Okay, so now let's back up. Let's look at the first reading, which is a little bit lengthier than that gospel. It's from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, and beginning in verse 14. And then we skip over, which sometimes happens during these Sunday Mass readings, when the church is trying to make a point, certain verses will be omitted, and then other ones will be added. So we'll start with Acts 13, verse 14, and then we'll jump over to verses 43 through 52. Paul and Barnabas continued on from Perga and reached Antioch in Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and took their seats. Many Jews and worshippers who were converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who spoke to them and urged them to remain faithful to the grace of God. On the following Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and with violent abuse, contradicted what Paul said. Both Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth.'" The Gentiles were delighted when they heard this and glorified the word of the Lord. All who were destined for eternal life came to believe, and the word of the Lord continued to spread through the whole region. The Jews, however, incited the women of prominence who were worshipers and the leading men of the city, stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their territory. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. As we look at this, as at this first reading, we see an example of some people choosing to follow Jesus and his teachings, right? And some choosing not to. Now, when we read of the Jews in the Gospels or in the New Testament, such as here in the Acts of the Apostles, typically we're not talking about all of the Jews, some followed Jesus. Some decided to follow him. Some decided that they believed he was the Messiah and they were going to follow him. A lot of times when we read of the Jews in the Gospels, or again in the New Testament, such as this reading from the Acts of the Apostles, it is referring to the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders of the time. You know, but in this case, many Jews and worshipers who were converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas. Now, this could mean ordinary people, not necessarily the leaders. But if we back up in that next verse, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and violent abuse, contradicted what Paul said. And we're talking about the leaders here. So again, I think the important thing for us to remember is it's not all the Jewish people that rejected Jesus. It's just some of them. And quite often, it was the people who should really know better. Their leaders, the religious leaders who knew of the coming Messiah, but they just weren't open to accepting that the Messiah could be Jesus Christ. But we see some people choosing to follow him. And I think that's what we saw in that gospel reading, that the true sheep of Jesus, the true followers, the ones who were open to the Messiah and really wanted to follow him, really wanted to believe in him, they would hear his voice and they would subsequently follow him. But others rejected him for whatever reasons. They didn't want to believe. They had a hard time conceiving that a Messiah would come not to rule in power, but to rule from a crucifix. You know, for whatever reason, some people rejected him. But I think the important thing for us to remember is this is something that only you and I can do. Nobody can force me to reject Jesus. Nobody can force me to do something which would offend Jesus. Again, the devil can tempt me. The world can entice me. But ultimately, the decision is mine. It's up to me and it's up to you whether we are going to be followers of Jesus. And in order to follow Jesus, it means a lot more than going to church on Sunday, and that's it. It means literally following him wherever he leads and believing the words that he spoke are true, whether we're getting them from Scripture, from the teachings of the church, not doing things our way, but doing things his way. And you know, for years, that's not the way I lived my life. I was somebody who worshiped Jesus if it was convenient to me. Sure, I did there. I checked the box. I went to Mass on Sunday. But that was it. I lived the rest of my life as if he didn't exist. To follow Jesus means literally to follow him, to put him first, to listen to him, and to follow him where he leads, even if he leads somewhere where we might not want to go. That's what a true follower does. But ultimately, that decision to follow Jesus to eternal life, that's up to you and it's up to me. Nobody else can make that decision for us or cause us to not make it to heaven. Nobody can cause me to do that. Ultimately, I have to do that on my own. Responsorial Psalms, good one, Psalm 100. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. You know, all this, when you look at this, that sentence that I just read, these are choices. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord. How? With gladness. Come before him with joyful song. They are choices that we can make. Despite going through difficult times, I can always choose to sing joyfully to the Lord, to serve him with gladness, and to come before him with joyful song, whether I'm doing that in church or whether I'm doing that at home. It's something I can do. I can praise the Lord wherever I am. And we should praise the Lord wherever we are. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. His we are. His people, the flock he tends. There's that imagery of a shepherd and leading the people. We saw it in the gospel. We saw it in the first reading. It was a little buried, but it was there, talking about people following Jesus, hearing and listening. They heard the word of the Lord and they chose to follow. What did Jesus say in the gospel? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The Lord is good. His kindness endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. And if we are to be sheep, we are expected to do what sheep do. Sheep follow the shepherd. They hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow. And as Christians, we are expected to do that with Jesus, to hear his voice and to follow. All right, let's see. The second reading is from the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 7, verse 9. I, John, had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Then one of the elders said to me, "These are the ones who have survived a time of great distress, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they stand before God's throne and worship him day and night in his temple. The one who sits on the throne will shelter them. They will not hunger or thirst anymore, nor will the sun or any heat strike them. For the Lamb who is the center of the throne, who is in the center of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." We are seeing an image of heaven. Those wearing the white robes, holding palm branches in their hands, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they are the souls who made it to heaven. And how did they do that? They did it by following Jesus Christ. And that's what it comes down to. And that's the overall theme of all these readings today. You know, we see here in this book, this reading from the book of Revelation, a glimpse of the result of what happens to those who choose to follow Jesus in this life. He's going to lead them to heaven, which is where we want to go. And you and I, we can't get there on our own. You know, that's not a matter of just working hard. Getting to heaven is not just a matter of working hard and doing good things. No, it's literally a matter of following Jesus Christ and depending on the grace that he gives us. No matter how hard we work, we can't get to heaven except through the grace given to us by the Lord. But I like this second reading today because it gives us an example of what it's going to look like. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to picture heaven. It's hard to fully appreciate it. Sometimes it's hard to appreciate it at all because all we know is what we see around us in this life. And the idea of spending forever with Jesus in heaven with no problems, no difficulties, no pain or suffering. That idea is foreign to us. And we could certainly embrace it on some level, but it's hard to picture it, isn't it? Because this is all we're used to. You know, we compare everything to our existence here on earth. So therefore, when we look at the happiness of heaven, it's difficult to really appreciate it because it's something we've never seen. And that's where the Lord can help us. You know, he can send us his Holy Spirit. He sends us his Holy Spirit to help us to better appreciate what awaits us in heaven. Sometimes we think we can't get there. And that's one of the reasons that we receive the virtue, the theological virtue of hope when we're baptized. Because hope enables us to believe that we can make it to heaven with the help of God's grace. Because sometimes we get hung up on the fact that we're such sinners, there's no way I'm not good enough to make it to heaven. Well, no, none of us are good enough. But Jesus was he was goodness. And Jesus was good enough to make reparation for all of our sins and make it possible for us to make it to heaven. So summarizing these readings, it's just a matter of following Jesus. Are you willing to follow Jesus everywhere he leads? You know, for the most part, he leads us through our ordinary daily duties, whatever they may be. And he expects us to serve him, to love him and serve him wherever we are. And that's going to be different for you. It's going to be different for me. It's going to be different for our pastor. It's going to be different for everyone. But what we have in common is this ability to follow and serve Jesus where we are. If we do that, and that's the theme of all these readings, we will reach heaven and will be one of those wearing the white robes, holding palm branches, standing before the throne, and Jesus, the Lamb of God. You know, that's why we're given scriptures like this, to inspire us and help us to remember that, yeah, we can do this. So I'm going to be praying for you as I always do, and I would ask you to pray for me as well. And we need it, right? We need that grace to be able to follow Jesus. It's so tempting to just fall off the wagon and not follow him, isn't it, sometimes? But we can make that choice. And I hope you make that choice. I'm going to try my best to do it as well. I want to thank you for listening to the program today. I'm glad I made it through with no voice problems. I'm going to go rest my voice right now. If you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com or just visit my website, followingthetruth.com. You can contact me through the website. I will keep praying for you and just ask that you keep praying for me. I really depend on your prayers, and I hope you know that I never forget about you in my prayers as well. I consider it an honor and a blessing to be able to do this program for so many years now. I've lost track of how many years I've been doing it, but I'm very grateful that I'm able to do it and that you're always willing to listen. It means a lot to me. Hope you have a fantastic week. Remember, keep following Jesus. That's the secret. And eventually, you and me, we're going to make it to heaven. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.